Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of The Sound of Science. My name is Julia Zimbauer, and I'm the creator and host of this podcast. In the fifth episode of The Sound of Science, we'll be having an interview discussion about the topic of songwriting and how it relates to neurological functioning and community connection. But before we get into this episode, make sure to subscribe and follow the podcast on Instagram under The Sound of Science, with underscores between each word. Without further ado, let's get into this episode. Today, I'm joined by Caitlin Krause, who is a local Athens singer-songwriter. Caitlin, how are you doing today?
I am doing really well.
I'm so excited to have you on. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. Caitlin is, again, like I said, a local Athens singer-songwriter. I actually just saw her perform on Saturday by pure chance. I had no idea. We walked in, and she went up and did a really great set, and so I got to kind of get a little bit of introspection into the work that she does and her performance, which is awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So I wanted to kind of get the ball rolling by asking, what got you into the singer-songwriter scene? How did you stumble upon it? And how has it kind of influenced where you've come to today?
Yeah, so I've been writing songs since I was in seventh grade, I would say. And before that, I also used writing, like poetry and creative writing, writing stories as a kid. It's just something I've always enjoyed doing. I've also, you know, took piano lessons as a kid, and eventually around the time almost simultaneously with the time I started writing songs in seventh grade, playing guitar and learning to play guitar. So I think, you know, as a songwriter, it really began with recognizing that it's such a unique and good feeling to express ourselves through music and songwriting. I had kind of deviated from the music that my peers listened to, which at the time would have been Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Yeah,
that's and
awesome.
Around that time, sort of by chance, stumbled across the Beatles, and that led me into a lot of, like I said, kind of deviation from what my peers were listening to,
yeah.
Getting really into 60s and 70s rock and folk and pop music. And I think that also sort of fed into my love of songwriting. Not to say that NSYNC and Backstreet Boys couldn't have done the same, but there was just something about the style of music and wanting to learn to play that kind of music and then channeling my own feelings and self-expression into that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I used to songwrite too in high school for 4 or 5 years, and it was awesome. I grew up on the Beatles as well. My dad introduced them to me the second I could actually understand what was going on, but it definitely was an influence into my songwriting personally, which is really interesting. But I agree with you, songwriting, even though I don't continuously do it now, it was like such a good part of, I feel like, my development too, into understanding myself and being able to find a way to express myself for sure, and being able to kind of put that down on a paper and into a final product and be like, this is what I'm feeling, this is how I'm doing, and just share that with as many people as you want.
Yeah, it's sort of simultaneously both. Yeah, it's simultaneously vulnerable as well as safe.
And yeah.
I know that that might not feel the case to anybody, but that's sort of how I've experienced it, is it's vulnerable in sort of an exciting way, but also in this safe way.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that. That's why I feel like the community of songwriters, too, is so wonderful in that aspect, too. Because it's just everyone being able to put their heart on their sleeve and nobody's judging, and it's a very safe space, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I also wanted to get into the topic of you being a music therapist, because for the listeners that are out there, she is also a music therapist at Ohio University. And so I wanted to bring that up and kind of ask how your two different careers as a singer-songwriter and as a music therapist kind of influence each other.
Yeah, so it's an interesting kind of development, I guess. I would say that, you know, back in seventh grade, leading then especially more heavily into high school, using music as a form of self-expression and connection to myself and others, you know, I kind of firsthand, I guess, understood the power of music, and that was really one of my favorite ways, best ways to express myself and to deal with and process, you know, a lot of the life changes that were happening around that time, as well as now, you know, continuing to process how life changes. I think that when I discovered, by the time that I discovered that music therapy was an actual field of study and a career that I could pursue, I was already deep into my own experiences of using music as a healing and therapeutic tool for myself, sort of in a self-directed way. And when I read this little blurb about music therapy in a Newsweek magazine in high school, and I was like, oh, that's a thing. And I started, you know, thinking about colleges, and I saw that Ohio University had a music therapy program, and it just sort of all came together that way.
That's incredible, though.
Yeah, so it's really become this cool connection between how I've used music in my own life, but also finding this field where I can actually pursue a career and helping others to do the same in various ways. And I'm also, I should say, there's sort of like a third aspect where becoming a music therapist also led me to then go back to grad school to become a mental health counselor, which is my primary role here at Ohio University now, but I still get to lead music therapy groups for students. And so it's sort of this continued journey. It sort of makes me wonder, like, what's next? How will these things, these different roles in my life continue to sort of support and inform one another? Because I think that my experiences as a music therapist also led me to then be like, I want to delve deeper into mental health, right? And not stop being a music therapist, but also widen, sort of broaden and deepen my scope of practice as a counselor. So
that's really incredible, too, especially since music therapy is such a niche field. Mm-hmm. I didn't really fully even understand what music therapy was until a couple years ago, but it is something that I wish was integrated a little bit more so we could understand what it is earlier in school. When, like, that's what Jessica and I talked about, too, in the last interview episode, about how adolescents and teens could benefit from music therapy early on. But yeah, so I wanted to also ask, do you think that songwriting and music creation can play a good role in emotional and mental functioning? And in what places do you think?
Definitely. So I'll very briefly sort of nerd out and talk a bit about, you know, nothing in depth with the science or the brain and, you know, but just to kind of say that music lights up all parts of the brain. So that's one of the unique things about it. And that's why music therapy is such a powerful mode to use with people in healing or therapy purposes. And so, you know, specifically with songwriting, I was thinking about this before we talked. And, you know, again, to kind of nerd out, like, the hippocampus, that's in control of things like memory and, you know, kind of processing, assigning meaning to things. The amygdala is a part of the brain that is responsible for our feelings, our emotions, and being able to identify and recognize, and again, kind of connecting to the processing of that. And so for me, if I think about the ways that I use songwriting, I'm like, okay, I know that my hippocampus and my amygdala are like really, really working here. And of course, so is my auditory cortex, because I'm processing the music that I'm creating and putting that to lyrics and vice versa. And, you know, also when you're playing music, which is part of, for me, is part of the songwriting process, you know, you've got your motor cortex going, you've got all these different parts of the brain, right? So that was my little nerding out.
No, I loved it. Are you kidding? Yeah. I loved it so much.
And that's also to say that I do not think in those terms when I'm songwriting. I'm not actually thinking about my amygdala and my hippocampus and my cortexes. And that's also not even what I'm thinking about when I'm helping somebody use songwriting in a therapeutic way. But I do think it's important to kind of shed some light on that is actively happening in our brains when we are doing something like songwriting. So I know from a scientific point of view that, you know, these different parts of my brain are lighting up and I am able to process my emotions and my experiences in life more effectively, I would say, through songwriting and in a more meaningful way. I think that's an important part of it. I could process these things just verbally talking to somebody, talking to a therapist. I could probably go on a walk or a hike and be thinking about these things and reflect or journal about it. And those are all powerful tools as well. However, I think there's something so dynamic about the experience of songwriting and being able to have that process. It's really, for me, sort of the, you know, I walk away with this product, right? Let's say I walk away with a song that I've created. That's the product. And I could share that with other people. It's sort of an artifact I could, you know, reflect back on over time. But it's also about the process of doing that, the things that are actively happening in my brain and my body emotionally when I am in the process of writing a song, the things that start to click and being able to understand myself better. Because a lot of, for me personally, when I write a song, and everybody's so different, which is what's so cool and unique about songwriting. But for me, I do think that the main purpose of songwriting is for me is to understand myself better.
I completely agree. You know, it's the same exact thing with myself. When I got super into songwriting, I would, if anything happened at school or if something went really wrong, I just force myself to go to the basement and sit with my piano or my guitar and just be like, make something, do something.
Right.
It doesn't have to be good. Yeah. It doesn't have to be something you share. Just do something with that.
Yeah, it's not about perfection. It's about what I'm getting out of this for myself, what I'm learning about myself. I do think that, you know, there is benefit too. There's also, I think, an added wonderful feeling if there is a song that I'm like, you know what, I do want to share this out. I do want to share this with other people. My hope in doing that is, I'm sure there is some ego behind it, because I'm a human being of, you know, okay, you know, I want to see what other people think, or like, but it's really driven by this hope, I guess, that people can connect to it too in their own way, and that maybe it can somehow, even if they derive a different meaning from it or connect to it in a different way than I did when I wrote it, that it can still hold meaning and be helpful to them in some way.
Yeah.
A sense of shared connection or connection to themselves. And so that's also, I think, you know, while I don't always overlap my work as a music therapist with how I use music in my personal life, there's definitely a connection between those two things.
For sure.
Right? Wanting other people to have a similar experience.
Yeah. Do you think that when you write music, do you more likely fall on the area of writing that's about personal experience? Or do you also want to write more about general experiences? Like, personally, I used to write music a lot about, like, the mental health stigma.
Mm-hmm.
So which one do you find that you like more?
Oh, that's a good question and also a hard one for me to answer. I feel like I sort of, it varies from time to time. I think I have songs that are very much, I'm like, this, I don't know what this could possibly mean to other people, maybe something, but, like, this is very much based in my own personal experiences. But I also do think that I write songs that are, maybe a good example would be a song I don't know if you were there for this one or not the other night, but a song called Full Bloom I've written, and it's really about the experience of being vulnerable and the power of being vulnerable, that it can be a scary thing, but it's actually the thing that is sort of transformative to us too. Like, we don't grow without being vulnerable. And so when I was writing that song, I would say in the verses, I'm almost like speaking to more personal experiences and what I was going through with that at the time. But then the chorus is more general of, like, you know, that vulnerability is sort of this open field that we can walk into. And when we do that, that's when we start to grow and learn. So I think a lot of my songs actually kind of toe the line between a little bit of both, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's just one example. But I think I could say that about a lot of my songs. So definitely maybe generalizable to some extent, but definitely drawing from that sort of that pool of personal experiences.
Yeah. So when it comes to songwriting as a whole and how it connects back to music therapy, have you brought your skills of songwriting into the music therapy domain when it's either working with students or working with other people?
Yes. So it's definitely not the only thing that I do as a music therapist. It's not like, okay, we're doing music therapy, so therefore we have to do songwriting.
Right.
But I will say, and I am sure I am biased because it's something that I use so frequently in my own personal life, I love to be able to eventually get to a place of using songwriting with people, even if it's not right off the bat. I think a lot of that has to do with the comfort level of the person or people I'm working with. So, for example, if I'm working with an individual who wants to use music therapy in our sessions, and they're already like, I'm a writer and I already do this, or I'm a musician and I'm, you know, I want to learn to write a song. Obviously, that would lead more directly into, like, okay, let's write a song and process things that way. I would say a lot of times in a group setting, so like I said, I have a lot of experience doing group work with music therapy, and I'm currently doing that at OU most semesters with students. And I usually don't start off, like, the very first session of the semester would not be like, let's write a song together,
yeah,
right? We need to learn we need to get to know each other and have a little bit more of a cohesive group. And that might not feel like the safest thing right off the bat to be that vulnerable and like write a song right away, especially if people don't have familiarity with that. So I don't want to pigeonhole too much into this, just this one experience of like, oh, you music therapy groups. But what I tend to do as an example is like, you know, maybe our first couple sessions are more like just song sharing and playlist making together and kind of getting a sense of each other's music preferences and learning about each other through that. And, you know, it's a closed group, meaning we have a set number of people in the group that always return each week. So there's not new people coming in. We have an opportunity to start to get to know each other. And then maybe by the third or fourth session, we start to like, okay, can we improvise musically and everybody pick up an instrument, whether or not you're a musician. That's my job as the music therapist to like give everybody a role and help them learn to play something in a way that they feel safe doing that and are not too far outside of their comfort zone. And then maybe that improvisation starts to turn into some songwriting, right? And we start. So I'm giving you a long answer here.
No, I love it.
All to say, you know, I think how quickly I jump into songwriting with somebody depends on what their needs and their goals are for music therapy. That's a very important thing as a music therapist to consider is I'm not doing this just because I want to do songwriting today. It should support what the client or clients are trying to get out of that experience.
Yeah.
But I do think that songwriting, you know, really opens up a lot of doorways to processing, you know, emotions and experiences and thoughts that people maybe are feeling caught up in or somehow presenting as obstacles in their lives. So it's a great opportunity to sort of either work through that or maybe even just like celebrate too. It doesn't always have to be a problem, right? Mm-hmm. It could also just be sort of celebrating like an achievement or something that they have worked through in their life and maybe looking back on the things that they've overcome.
Yeah, so that's incredible because I remember when I was researching for my last episode, it was talking about songwriting, but it was also talking about certain songwriting and therapy contexts. And I remember one specific one that I found so interesting is this type of therapy where people would take someone's favorite pop song or one of their favorite pieces of music, and they would it would have lyrics, and they would cut out certain words in it, and then mm-hmm. it's like a fill in the blank thing.
Yeah,
I had no idea what that was. It was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, like we could just totally take one of your favorite songs, right, and just sort of omit certain lyrics and then make it your own. And so yeah, so that would be a great exercise, and that's a great example of something that can make it more accessible to even, you know, people that are like, ooh, songwriting,
yeah,
like
scary.
I don't know how to do this. It's like, well, you don't have to totally start from scratch, right? We can sort of piggyback off of.
Yeah, it's a lot less daunting. And also it has some familiarity with the
right.
your favorite type of music. And also it's just so cool that the way that you finish off certain phrases or add in certain words from your personal life can completely change a song's meaning.
Right.
And it can make it very metaphorical and help you understand yourself, which is so cool. I mean, I never really even got into the study of that until I started researching for the previous episode. But it's really, really interesting. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. And in music therapy, I mean, we use that kind of technique a lot. You know, it could also be something, again, depending on the comfort level of the person you're working with. Like, you know, you could just start from scratch or, you know, maybe they have a poem they've written. Now can we put music to that? Or, you know, I've helped people kind of create their own word bank. Like, okay, based on this topic that sort of emerged from what we've been doing in music therapy, like what are some metaphors or imagery or things we could start to put in the song? And then, you know, that word bank can start to generate some ideas and some phrases or lines. So, there's really, you know, the sky's the limit when it comes to songwriting. And that's one of the things that I think can make it so flexible and so wonderful to use in a music therapy context.
Yeah. So I also wanted to kind of pivot and talk about your personal experiences with your songwriting. One of my biggest questions, I think, was, one, do you write your music to, would you say, like, help understand certain emotions? And also, which emotions do you think are the most prevalent when you're songwriting?
Mm. That's a good question. I mean, yes. Yes, I do use it definitely to kind of understand and connect to different emotions. I feel like most of my songs are not just like, okay, this might be a hit, right? Like it's mm-hmm. not, I'm not doing it from the standpoint of like what's going to sound cool or popular. It's definitely more founded in my emotions and just like what I need to process in that moment. I think if I'm trying to find, I mean, a theme Like, is there some sort of common theme to some of the emotions that come up in my music? I would say introspection's not really an emotion. That's more of an action. A lot of my songs are introspective, so I'll start with that, which, again, relates to delving into and processing emotions. I would say that a theme or for feeling is probably, like, feeling overwhelmed or feeling doubt, but then also simultaneously, like, finding empowerment by working through that.
That makes sense to me, yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes, like, you could read the lyrics or hear one of my songs and be like, you know, this person's going through a lot. But I also think that a lot of my songs sort of have a little, like, a flip to them where there's also this sort of hope or something. So there's, like, a lot of doubt, and maybe that's coming from that place of uncertainty and introspection, and maybe some of the emotions that come with that, like, you know, feeling overwhelmed or feeling anxious or feeling sort of a, you know, maybe an emptiness or something, but then also simultaneously kind of expressing or working towards this, like, overcoming of that doubt, you know, empowering oneself to do that. That was a long,
convoluted answer. Yeah, so when you're writing music, do you write your lyrics intentionally to connect with your listeners, or would you say focus more on chords and more just the feeling, or do you put a lot of thought and thinking of the possible connection you could have with your listener through your lyrics?
I think it's a little bit, kind of a wishy-washy answer, but I think it's a little bit of all of that. I think it initially comes from just, like, it's not about other people. It's more like, what's going on for me and what's coming up through the music? Mm-hmm. Like, it's in its truest, my songs that I connect with the most are the ones that are just sort of generated because it's almost like they have to. Like, they have to come out because that's what's coming up for me, and so this is the way they're coming out. But I'm human, so I also think that at some point in the songwriting process, I do think about how other people connect to it. Meaning, you know, again, like I said earlier, first and foremost, usually when I'm songwriting, it's for myself. It's to have some deeper understanding or connection to myself. But then there's that added benefit of hoping that other people can connect to it and experience something through that. So I do think that, again, whereas it starts off more for me, and that's the lens through which I'm at least initially starting to write the song and come up with the music, like what music supports what I'm saying, what I'm feeling here, melodically, chordally, rhythmically, all of that. I think eventually at some point, yes, it does enter my consciousness, like, will other people be able to connect to this? What other meaning, you know, might they find or connect to in this? So
that's awesome. Yeah. Cause it reminds me, this specific question reminds me a lot of what your set was, a Donkey. Cause I remember you had two songs in particular that stuck out very heavily to me. One of them was about relationship with the deceased after they're gone. And then there was another one that you talked about, cognitive dissonance. Yeah. And so those two were my favorites because I feel like from my perspective, at least, I know I start to click very well with a song when my mind starts going to like my own personal experiences while listening to the music. And I can kind of like bridge this gap between my perception of what the music is, hearing it for the first time, and then also your perception of the music while you're performing it and you've written it and you've developed the whole thing and you're performing the finished product on stage.
Yeah. And I know which songs you're talking about. And yeah, those are good examples, actually, of, you know, they're definitely coming from a very personal place and, you know, my own experiences of having cognitive dissonance, but of course, I know I don't exist in a bubble with that issue. That's something that I talk to people about every single day. It's a human experience. And same with, you know, the song All Along that is about kind of connection to the deceased and, you know, maybe this belief that somehow they are still present somehow in our lives. That's also a human experience, right, of we all lose somebody or something very close and dear to us, right, and sort of are trying to reconcile that and maybe find connection or examine our own beliefs around that. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I think one of my biggest questions that I wanted to ask you is if songwriting can kind of be a method to rewire your brain and understand your experiences, what would you say your music says about you neurologically? It's kind of a like
multi-level
question, but I'm very interested in to hear about your experiences about that.
Well, again, I don't speak in scientific terms all the time, right? I'm thinking mm-hmm. a little bit right now about my brain, though, in terms of like what you said neurologically, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously, you know, we've got our left and our right brain. And I think that, you know, in a way, I think songwriting and the way that I use it maybe speaks to the fact that, you know, as aware as I can be, and like on an intellectual level about, okay, this is what I'm feeling and this is why, and this is, you know, this is how I can cope with it or reason my way through it, or I can think all day long about that intellectually and understand why and how, but that's still not allowing me to experience the feeling, right? The felt, what we might call like the felt sense of it. And so I think, you know, using that those more creative parts of my brain is really what allows me to sort of embody that, the feelings that are coming up or the experiences that are coming up, rather than just be sort of intellectually fixated on mm-hmm. it, right? There's value. I mean, I talk to clients about this too, right? There's value. Like, it's great to understand why and how things work and why I'm feeling this and what it is and maybe how I can cope with it and move forward. But if I'm not allowing myself to emotionally connect to it, then I'm still blocking something out, mm-hmm. right? So I think it's from a neurological standpoint, I guess what it says about me is I want to feel the feelings, right? And music is something that really helps me to do that. I have found other methods that help me to feel my feelings, right? So like, for example, being in nature is there's a greater likelihood that I'm able to sort of feel my feelings in a more meaningful way and in a more connective way. Same thing with making other forms of art, like visual art. But music and songwriting is, I think, the most powerful way that for me personally I've found to do that. So to kind of sum that all up is I guess the way that I use songwriting, what it says about me neurologically is that while I value the intellectual side of it, for me it's really about the feeling, the felt sense that it evokes for me, like in my body and in my, you know, just the sensory aspect of that, right, which is connected to the body. So it's not just about this is what I'm feeling and why. The music supports the feeling.
Yeah. So. No, I feel like I can connect with that very heavily too, with what my songwriting experiences were in high school. I mean, for me personally, it was all about trying to understand myself as best as I could, especially yeah. in high school, when so much happens and there's so much development and there's so many things going on that it's so overstimulating. You don't have time to process. You barely can before something else comes along just because it's so much packed into so many years.
Right.
And so for me, that's what songwriting was. And it was just a place for you to sit down. It's like, you had a really bad week. Maybe just write about that.
Right, right. It's a way to become less avoidant too, right? I think with intellectualizing our feelings, sometimes then we're at somewhat greater risk of avoiding them too. It's like, well, I understand it, so now I don't have to process it or deal with it.
Yeah,
further.
I agree with that.
Whereas music allows you to like really step into it. It's like, okay, no, I'm connecting to the feeling rather than just like avoiding it or sort of like disconnecting from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and like thinking of it in two logistical terms where
right.
you're making it very black and white, but it's like sometimes you got to just let yourself sit down
yeah.
and have an emotion about something and feel it and allow yourself to feel the full extent of that before turning into a product or just leaving it behind and processing it that way. But
yeah,
that was a big aspect of high school for me. That's the way that I processed so much of my stuff. And
yes.
I wasn't really too much of a journaling kid either. So it was mm-hmm. a nice outlet to have where it wasn't like, oh, that's so cringy. It was just a nice place to just sit and have yourself and have your instrument and just chill.
Right.
It was
right.
wonderful. Yeah. So I want to get a little bit more into this topic of the brain in the ways that you write songs structurally. So in my last episode, I covered a little bit about how the brain likes certain things like 4/4 because it's easy to predict and it's mm-hmm. easy to recognize, and like beat patterns and types of choruses. So I wanted to ask if you wrote your music with any thinking about types of song structures that could stick.
Yeah, I will say that when I write a song, I don't preemptively get too deep in the woods with like the theoretical like the theory of it. I try, even though I, you know, have done a lot of work in music theory as a former music student, I sometimes if I get too far into analyzing things from like a musical or structural theoretical standpoint, I feel like I disconnect from the emotions of the song.
Yep.
However, so I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm prefacing with I don't usually go into songwriting like, okay, you know, what's the meter going to be and what's the structure definitely going to be and what types of chord progressions will stick the most with people. But I think in a subconscious way, all of the theory has sunk in.
Yeah.
I know, you know, there's a subconscious part of me that's like, okay, these chords sound good together. Sometimes I'll surprise myself and be like, oh, that was a weird change, but it kind of works. Mm-hmm. And maybe it even works better because it is interesting and not just a simple 1-4-5-1 or 1-6, you know, like there's something weird about it or different, but yet it works in maybe even a more powerful way. So those are like bonuses to me. Personally, again, I'm not saying like this is how any one person should approach songwriting. If you're a very theoretical person and you go into it with all this structure and, you know, sort of like, okay, this is what's going to stick out to the listener the most, then great. That's totally 100% fine. But for me personally, it's more like a bonus when I'm like, okay, I found this chord progression and I think like it's sticking with me. I get it stuck in my head. And now I hope that probably maybe that means that it'll stick with other people. I do think that I give a little more thought to melody sometimes, like melodic lines, like how I sing the lyrics. If it feels too bland or conventional, like I'm not saying my lyrical lines are not conventional, the melodic lines, I mean, but I do really like melodic songwriting. So I put maybe a little more thought sometimes into how the melody fits with the chords and the words, but not in like a painstaking way.
Yeah.
Like, I usually don't toil too much over like, okay, I gotta change this one note, and then, you know, it's more about how it naturally comes out.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a little bit how it was for me before. I took music theory my senior year of high school, and
yeah, it's interesting and it's valuable.
Yeah,
and also sometimes it takes, again, from a songwriting standpoint, it can kind of, for me personally, takes out some of like the meaning and the fun and the creativity.
Yeah,
right?
No, and I feel like when I wrote music too, because I wrote music before my senior year when I took that class, and I didn't even know what a cadence was, but I was just kind of doing it how my brain wanted to do it, and I would just put certain chords in certain places just because it felt right and it sounded right. And then once I learned the structure of it, I was like, that's cool, but I don't want to take that into my writing as much. Because if it's something where I want everything that I put into a product, if I songwrite, I want it to be intentional.
Yeah.
And I want it to be based on emotion, based on feeling, and based on connection. And
yeah, exactly. It shouldn't always, in my opinion, if you're only ever using like a formula or a couple formulas, then you're going to end up with a lot of songs that also just
exactly,
sound the same.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm sure that some of my songs do sound the same or kind of fit into a certain, there's probably a pattern if I analyze certain things, but I'm not thinking from that standpoint usually.
Yeah. So. And also I feel like the music that has stood the test of time, even though this isn't like very strongly correlated to the topic, the music that has stood the test of time for being very different doesn't fall into any of those things. Like if you take Bohemian Rhapsody,
right,
that literally in the time that it was created, everyone was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And then you come to it now when people are like screaming it at concerts and like Benson Boone's performing with the old guitarist of Queen, and it just develops a lot of different meanings over time. And I feel like that's what songwriting is. That's what it is at the core. It's making something new, and you can bring in aspects of, oh, this is really catchy in a lot of songs nowadays.
Right.
You can utilize that if you want, but at the end of the day, it's not important.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So my last question for you is, do you think songwriting has changed your brain over time in a sense of emotional vulnerability?
Yeah, I think that vulnerability in a lot of ways, emotional vulnerability, that's the thing I'll stick to. I will also say, like, it's sort of like meta. It's like you write a song, and in that process of it, right, you are being vulnerable. Like, just the process alone, whether or not you share it with anybody else, there is a vulnerability to that. And then secondly, for example, if you share that song out, right, you perform it or you record it and share it with other people, there's also an added vulnerability to that because now other people are going to hear it. And, you know, again, that's, to me, vulnerability is a strength more than it is, you know, I know sometimes in our culture is perceived as a weakness too, but mm-hmm. I really see it as a strength. That's not to say it's easy. But I think that music, again, like for me, it's been such an outlet, such an emotional outlet, and I'm sure in many ways sort of a life-saving one in that, you know, it's allowed me to not only explore my emotions but express those, whether it's something I keep to myself or whether that's something I share on stage or in a recording. It's scary, and it's also such a warm and good feeling when you finally do it, mm-hmm. right? Which to me, that's vulnerability, right? It's where it's a little scary and like maybe brings up some stress, some anxiety or yeah. something like that. But it's also because I'm connecting to the emotions and now I'm sharing those. That's sort of the magic of it. That's the power of it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So and knowing that other people can feel so many different emotions based and interpret your music in different ways too into their own personal lives and have a whole new meaning for it.
Right. Right. And I think that's, again, not to be so, like, vulnerability, but to be vulnerable, I mean, that's also, it models that to other people, too, right? And there's strength and power in that, right? It's like, well, if this person's being vulnerable, then I guess my hope is also that that can help other people to safely, yeah. you know, find a safe way to be emotionally vulnerable mm-hmm. in a way that supports them, strengthens them, and to not perpetuate sort of the myth that to be vulnerable is to somehow be weak or that it always leads to like a lack of safety. In fact, it can actually lead to more safety and security by bringing these emotions out into the open and seeing that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. In this,
shared
right?
community. That's like the yeah. best aspect of songwriting, in my opinion. It's
yeah.
knowing that everybody else can have their own experiences and feel safe enough to share them in an environment where you're creating something and you're creating a product and you're getting to share it with people and people won't judge you for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I think that was my last question. Thank Great. You so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've definitely, like, you've pushed me to kind of go into more Aww. Introspection on this, too, in a good way. So
I'm so happy. Yeah. I'm so happy. This is a wrap on our interviewee discussion today. I had a great time talking with you, Caitlin, and I'm really excited to showcase your insights on this podcast. Thank you all for listening. The next episode of The Sound of Science will be out in a few weeks. Until then, make sure you follow the podcast on Instagram under The Sound of Science with underscores between each word. Thank you again, and I'll see you next time.